And happy new year, everybody! We are live, first show of 2017. Did you have to practice it a little bit, you know? Write it 20 times, that's my recommendation. Because otherwise, first time you pick up the checkbook to write a check, you're going to be scratching stuff out. All right, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, live from Orange County, deep behind the Orange Curtain, from an undisclosed location. That's right, we are here and ready to get to it. Now, yeah, one of the things is holiday, and I'll tell you a little bit about what all I did over the holidays. But anyway, one of the things one of these stories that's out there right now that is, it's got me hot and bothered is this Mormon Tabernacle Choir piece. You know, everybody's been huffing and puffing about how Trump's been unable to book people for his inauguration, right? He's got all the big performers and big performing artists haven't been wanting to perform. And regardless of what these performers' individual, opinions or political proclivities might be, really what's going on is they're just afraid of the backlash. You know, they're afraid that what'll happen is they'll perform for Trump and they'll get blacklisted and these crazies will come out and picket them and boycott them. So there's, you know, there certainly are some performers who are not into Trump, but there are many of these people just don't want to get anywhere near it because they don't want to get boycotted. They don't want to invite the wrath of the crazies. Well, you know who stepped up? The Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And if you haven't had a chance to hear them perform, I will tell you, nothing short of spectacular. Yeah, I'm not an active Mormon. But my wife. So we don't practice, but my wife and I are members, and I can speak about this a little bit because, you know, I mean, in the case of my wife's family, I mean, she goes back to Brigham Young's time. So the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is a big deal. I mean, they have, I think, something like 200 plus records. They perform all around the world, and it is not unprecedented that they perform at a presidential inauguration. I think they performed for Gerald Ford. They performed, for Nixon. I think George H.W. Bush. Even Lyndon B. Johnson. And Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan loved them so much, he called them America's Choir. So there you go. And, the choir decides to perform. And yeah, there's some people who were upset about it and began petitioning, and doing that kind of thing. But long story short, this one lady, you probably heard about this, Jan Chamberlain from Salt Lake City, Utah, decides that she's just going to write this. She's going to quit the choir. And by the way, the crazy thing is she doesn't even have to go. She doesn't have to go because they can't even take the whole choir. The choir is like 360 people and they can only take about 200. So incidentally, they're doing a lottery. Did you hear about this? They're doing a lottery to pick the people that are actually going to go because so many of the choir members want to go to the inauguration, but not this Chamberlain lady. No. She writes this huge thing on her Facebook page. She quits. She says she doesn't want to throw roses to Hitler. That's her quote, calling Trump Hitler. And now this whole bunch of noise from the American left, the media has run to her, run to her rescue. And this great piece in CNN, of course, CNN opinion. I guess now they're actually writing which one of their pieces are opinion and which is supposedly real journalism. But anyway, there's a guy named Raul Reyes. And I'm bringing this up because, sometimes you read a story and you actually know a lot about the stuff going on behind the scenes because my wife has family in Salt Lake and this is local talk and we're following it, from afar, but hearing some of the details leaking out about this lady and how, she's probably wasn't that happy in the choir. You know, things that there's a bigger picture out there of things that are happening, and now there's these outsiders that are trying to kind of paint and explain what's going on, and they're all putting their own biases into they're looking at it through their own lenses, which are Trump-hating lenses. And so this guy writes, you know, that this lady sees the choir singing for Trump as a betrayal of Mormon values. And she's right. This guy writes, the president-elect with his bigotry and braggadocio personifies nearly everything the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, blah, 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 is not. Now, I know a lot of Mormons. I'm not a practicing member of the church, but I know this church well. It's my church at the end of the day. And, first of all, Utah elected Trump handily. There was all this talk that, you know, we mentioned it here that, you know, people weren't gonna like him. But Utah ended up electing Trump handily. And here's the thing. I can tell you this. The number one thing about the church is that it's actually a very civically minded organization. And they are absolutely, I mean, this is a chance to perform at an inauguration for a future president. And it's cool. And it's an opportunity and people are jumping on board. So it just, here's the interesting thing. It's just one of many examples of people out there melting down over this Trump thing. Here's a lady who quit a choir. Now, let's say that she loves it. She's been there for years. It's a volunteer position. Very coveted, by the way. Very prestigious. If you're a Mormon, you live in the Salt Lake area, and you are on the choir, it's a big deal. And she's completely melting down comparing Trump to Hitler. You hear it everywhere you go, right? People are saying, that guy's Hitler. That guy's Mussolini. He's a fascist. And I'm sitting here, I'm scratching my head, and I'm thinking, if this is all true, we are sitting on the precipice of literally the worst disaster to ever befall our country. And yet, in the same breath, look what's happening to the Dow. 120 points. I'm looking, I'm reading the story, and then I go to breakfast, and I'm talking to a guy from Bank of America, a friend of mine. I had breakfast with him this morning, and he's telling me about how much optimism there is in the banking industry right now. And he just explained it really simply. He goes, look, we all know that for the first time, we have a guy that's going to the White House who understands leverage, who understands finance, who understands how important credit is to the marketplace, who's been there, who's taken out a loan, who knows how crappy Dodd-Frank is and all the ridiculous paperwork. My friend says, you know what our stock is doing? Our stock is going gangbusters. And that is the point of this. Here you've got this choir member in Salt Lake City getting national attention because she quit a volunteer post petulantly, calling Trump Hitler. And yet these people, these smart people in the business, people that control billions, if not trillions, of investor dollars, are making huge moves, are buying, not selling, are driving the marketplace up. They're putting real dollars on the bet that Trump is going to be good for this country. And so as I look at this, you know, I mean, who do you want to listen to? Do you want to listen to Rosie O'Donnell? Yeah, she sent a tweet from the deep end of the hippo pool. Did you see this? Yeah, something about, we got 2.5 weeks to stop Trump. She's basically, I mean, look, if this had been Rush Limbaugh or some conservative who had sent this tweet about Obama 8 years ago, I mean, the media would have melted down, threatening the president, racist, bigot. So here's the thing. These words are just becoming so overused. Quietly, behind the scenes, the people that matter are moving billions of dollars in support of the future president, of the future administration, because it's bigger than Trump. They're seeing the moves that he's making in his cabinet. They're seeing what kind of hires are being made or what kind of hires are being proposed. And they like it. And I'll tell you this. If you're not a Trump supporter, I get it. Okay, if you didn't like the guy, you think he's vulgar, you don't like him grabbing women you know where, fine. But the marketplace reacts to stability. Business wants stability. If you think that he's going to be Hitler and putting everybody in boxcars and shipping them off and left and right, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. And you need to stop. You need to turn off MSNBC. You need to just unsubscribe to your Huffington Post alerts. Pull your head out of your you-know-what and relax. This country's not going to hell in a handbasket. It's not happening. It's really, really, really funny to me. You know, it's, well, yeah, and this is the same hysterics that are going into this, this hacking thing. It's just, example being, you remember Obama talking about, you know, about Benghazi. Don't rush to judgment. We gotta carefully wait for the investigation. No, well, I mean, he, of course, blamed it on a video, you know, hate mongering. But then, you know, Orlando, don't rush to judgment. San Bernardino, oh, don't rush to any judgment. Don't. And then John Podesta has his email hacked with a relatively banal phishing scheme, the kind of phishing scheme that Americans every day, people you and I know, maybe it happened to you, you know, maybe you got hacked, you got phished, and all of a sudden they, you know, had your identity stolen and all that good. It happens every day to thousands of people. Such a I mean, yes, it's terrible, certainly, but it's not uncommon. And it happens to John Podesta. Yes, all the lies of the Democratic Party are laid bare. And we got to find a scapegoat. And boy, are we going to rush to judgment and are we going to do this? And the hysteria ensues again. All the while, up goes the Dow. Up and away. And it's all because, I'm telling you, the wise voices, the mature voices, the people that you don't hear from are making moves. And they're positive moves. And they benefit all of you. I'm reminded, you remember Mark Cuban before the election? You know, Shark Tank guy? Dallas Mavericks, is that the team he owns? I'm sports illiterate, but is it that? Yep, I got it right. One for Sam. So, well, you know, I mean, you know his tweet. He said, you know, before the election, he goes, if Trump wins, the stock market is going to crash. And so what I will do is if it even looks close like he's going to win, I'm paraphrasing here, bear with me. This is Mark Cuban. Wise, right? You'd think wise investor. Smart money guy. He's the guy picking winners and losers on Shark Tank. Your business sucks. Your business is great. That guy. He's saying if Trump gets even close to winning, if it looks like he might win, I'm going to take a 100% hedge against all my positions, meaning he's basically going to bet against himself so that he's got insurance for when the market crashes. It's, you know, basically stock trading jargon. Well, I haven't heard boo from him. You remember? Yeah, I mean, yeah, he came to the Hillary Clinton debate, was scowling at Trump. I mean, this is what I'm saying. People are letting their politics, they're letting other people, other opinion makers decide how they're thinking, how they're feeling. And, you know, if you listen to this program, we don't really get lost here on feelings. We don't get lost in how we feel. It's about the reality of the situation. And I think this is a really good thing to talk about right now because we're heading into a new year. It's 2017. It's going to be a good one. For sure, things are going to be different. Trump's going to be weird. He's going to tweet some stuff that, you know, he probably shouldn't. But hey, The craziest thing I hear about on the news all the time right now is all these people, well, he can't do this, and he can't do that, and he can't do... And these were all the same people that said, well, he's never going to win the election, he's never going to do this, he's never... And quietly behind the scenes, the music is playing on. And it might be the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, I don't know. But the music is carrying on, and the show is continuing, and our economy is going to do well. And again, it's the economy that thrives on stability. So if you fear this guy, know that there are people that know what they're doing, and they see that the next upcoming years are going to be stable. You're gonna see this happen. So my prediction is that we've got some good years ahead, and this one especially. Things usually in the first 100 days are very strong, just historically speaking. With presidencies go, I think they did some study all the way back to 1930s. You know, first 100 days, big rebound for economies typically because there is optimism. But here especially, we've not seen anything like this. All right, we're going to talk about more hysteria when we get back. Did you hear about this Muslim gal that voted for Trump? Yeah, we got to get into the details of it because it's insane. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Call now. Call me if you're interested.
What's your phone number?
800-ABC-KABC.
Ask for the phone number, not the phone letters.
That's 800-222-5222.
Thank you.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Whew! I just got a text. Apparently my kids are listening to the show. And my 3.5-year-old, Ava, asked why I'm so mad on the program. So, Ava, sorry, I'm not mad. I just have a lot to talk about, and maybe I need to bring her in for some advice here. She should... Robbie, what do you think? Should she co-produce the show? Ready to bring Ava into the studio? Anyway, by the way, something just popped up on in the news, starting a trend now. Sean Hannity has an interview coming with Julian Assange, who is the head of WikiLeaks. And apparently he is vehemently denying that the information, the Podesta emails, you know, the ones that were purportedly hacked, by Vladimir Putin's army of spies and hackers. Apparently, he's at least claiming that those did not come from Russia, did not come from a state actor, came from somebody completely different. This ties into the Washington Post story on the Vermont utility thing. If you missed this, you know, with the holidays swirling around, I'll fill you in. Yeah, Washington Post on Friday ran a story, and Forbes really took him to task yesterday. Forbes magazine, Forbes called it fake news. They called fake news on the Washington Post, which is supposedly a respectable mainstream newspaper, also owned, by the way, by Jeff Bezos, Amazon guy who hates Trump. So just throwing that out there. Anyway. This was the title of the piece that they ran. The Washington Post ran on, Friday morning. Russian hackers penetrated the U.S. electricity grid through a utility in Vermont, U.S. officials say. Now, that sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Like, wow, geez, bad news. Looks like Putin's on the march here. And then it went on to explain how a code that's associated with the Russian hacking operation, the Grizzly Step operation, was detected in the utility system in Vermont. Anyway, by the end of the day, and this is interesting, at some point in the afternoon, I got to say this first, the Vermont utility in question actually put out a press release. And they said, here's the press release. Here's what they said. We detected the malware in a single department laptop not connected to our organization's grid system. And then they went on to say basically, hey, you know, this is the same malware that other people have. It's a garden variety malware. It's not even linked to anything that necessarily comes out of Russia. You can buy this. Not you, because you're a good person. You would never do this. But, you know, people out there like among us, regular Americans, can buy this stuff online. So it's not, it has no fingerprints from Russia whatsoever. And it took the Washington Post the whole day to correct themselves. And then when they ran the correction, they ran it at the bottom of the story. Just, these are examples that are so important to understand that most of what we're reading out there is nonsense. It's BS. And this is, you've got to understand that just because you hear these 22 intelligence agencies all coming together, where's the proof on the Russian hacking? It doesn't pass the smell test. Now, I'm not here to defend Putin. I'll say it as long as I'm blue in the face. He's a bad guy. He doesn't want well for us. He's looking out for Russia's interests for sure, and then I would actually add for his own interests. But we look silly when we don't have all the facts and when we rush in like this. And I would say that the next 20 days, contrary to what Fat Rosie thinks, the next 20 days are actually the most vulnerable in our nation's history or in the year, because we're sitting with a president that is so incompetent and is rushing to these quick judgments and shooting off these half-baked schemes with very little power, very little forethought, just looking to cement his legacy as best as he can. And it's silly. It's silly. It makes us look stupid. And I'm telling you, we're really in a bad spot. We're in a bad spot here. So when we come back, I got to get to this story about this Muslim professor. Well, I'll explain to you. She writes this piece and the whole world went upside down. All right. We got John Wolfe with the news back after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. I think this is the year that we found out that Anthony Weiner is a dick. I mean, we did. I mean, he's just a jerk. He's a total jerk.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
There's life underground.
And Sam Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Happy New Year. We are live from our undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. Yes. So, there is a gal who, a lady, not a gal, she's 51 years old. Her name is Asra Namani. Now, she's actually an immigrant, a Muslim immigrant from India. She came to this country, she's 4 years old, ends up becoming an academic, spent some time teaching at Georgetown University, where, as you would imagine, she makes friends with other academics, other professors, you know, and she's a self-described liberal, and you probably have to be. I don't imagine that these kind of schools have. I mean, Georgetown, you know, it's D.C., Ivy League. They probably don't even allow conservatives, do they, on the campus? I don't know. I just can't imagine. So she's a lib, you know, she's out there doing her thing. Now, interestingly enough, she writes this in this piece, by the way, because the reason she's in the news is after the election, she ends up writing a piece and she publishes it in, Washington Post. She explains why she voted for Trump. Which, can you imagine? That's kind of brave. I mean, I can't imagine she's got very many friends who are, and she actually comes basically out to her friends that she went into the, you know, she went into the booth, she went to vote, and she ticked the box, you know, right next to, you know, Donald Trump. Anyway, well, all hell broke loose one of her colleagues, right, one of her friends, old friends from Georgetown University, went full Harambe on her. I kid you not. Well, you know, you think that Trump is crazy on Twitter? Okay, let me give you this. She called her a fame mongerer, a clown show, a fraud. Oh, who is this lady? Right, Christine Fair. She's a professor at Georgetown. She calls Fair called Trump Adolf Hitler. We heard that before. Yeah, it's getting pretty old, right? She quote unquote says, "You help normalize Nazis in D.C., right? This Fair lady tweets this out, publicly tweets this out to Nomani, the lady that voted for Trump. Now, you know, the essay that was put out there, the article that Nomani published, was actually quite good. And you know, one part that stood out for me, you know, she explained, she goes, look, it's the economy. Look, I'm a single mom. I'm not doing well in the Obama economy. And I trust Trump to be the better candidate when it comes to me and my personal economy. It's one thing. The second thing, and you might be surprised to hear about this, she actually likes Trump's rhetoric on Muslims. Why? Well, let me tell you, because she's a liberal. And this is what I've been saying since I'm blue in the face here on the show. She writes, as a liberal Muslim, listen to that, as a liberal Muslim who has experienced firsthand Islamic extremism in this world, you know, and she writes, I've been opposed to President Obama and the Democratic Party to tap dance around the word Islam and Islamic State. And then she says, you know, I don't, you know, Trump's taken it too far, but she likes that Trump understands that there is a real, clear and present danger coming from radical Islam and that he's not tap dancing around it. So she writes all of this. And oh, my goodness. I mean, so this Fair lady is just blowing her up. I mean, it's abusive. It's horrible. Tells her to F off, tells her to go to hell. Makes horrible comments about her and her children. I mean, it's beyond the pale. And now, here's the thing. See the absurdity of it? See the absurdity of someone who is denouncing Trump as a hate monger, as a rabble rouser, as a basically a despicable human being who is anti-humanity, anti-people, anti-everything. And then these people think, right, these critics of Trump think it's okay because they're so on the side of right. It's okay to belittle and demean and denounce Trump supporters. So here's the thing. This lady, what she wrote was really bold and it was good and it needed to be said. And I like it. And I'm proud of her. And it's also good to know that we aren't alone, you know? All right. Back after this, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Rzhovsky here. There's a dog in Florida. That's right. Well, there's more than one dog in Florida, but there's one particular dog in Florida that made the news. Tampa, Florida, a family around Christmas time tried to put a Christmas sweater on their beloved pet. Let's see, what was this? Pitbull. Yeah, Well, anyway, the dog didn't like the idea of being constrained by a knit sweater and proceeded to maul both of his owners so severely that they required extensive hospitalization. That's right. In fact, the police had to be called. And first they tried a beanbag, you know, to get the dog to calm down. He just wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't let go. So then they ended up tasing him. Still nothing. And finally, they had to use something, a catch pole. think I need one of these for my kids. it looks effective. Like, they were able to grab him kind of by the collar and then, keep him, pull him off his poor owners. Now, first of all, they have it. The dog has a name, and it's Scarface. So, yeah, that's a problem. Listen, I don't know what people are thinking with these pit bulls. We do so many dog bites at the office. I talked to James about this all the time. Who? Sweet James, right? We know him. So he tells me, look, so many of these injuries that happen are big dogs, are pit bulls that people swear they're never going to be aggressive, this and that, they're fine. And then the amount of damage that they cause, they bite kids, they bite older people, they knock people over to the ground. So if you've had a dog named Scarface or Fifi or whatever it is attack you, bite you on any part of your body, what do? You got to get a lawyer. I mean, you don't understand. I mean, a scar is forever, and I don't think there's really ever such thing as a good looking scar. I could be mistaken. It's not like a shark bite. A shark bite's cool. You got it like a talking piece. Look at my cool shark bite. But I think with, look, I got bit by a pit bull. Look at my sweet bite. I don't think that really works the same way. So what do you want to do? Don't get caught talking to the owners of the dog. Don't get involved. Don't make any statements to the animal control people. Just get a lawyer. And get a good lawyer. Somebody who understands dog bites and understands how the whole system works and homeowners insurance and all that nonsense. And that guy is Sweet James Bergner, the attorney we trust on this program. How do you reach him? Good question. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Sam Nation here. Sam Rejofsky. Talking about, all sorts of stuff. I want to follow up on something that I think was in the news maybe just under a year ago. Do you remember that hot felon, ladies? Anyone? You remember that guy that was like ridiculously, I'm not going by, this is not my opinion. I'm going by Robbie's opinion here. The mugshot, the really good looking guy in the mugshot. Well, apparently, right, he was in prison on a weapons charge, previous stint in jail for armed, I think car, what is it, vehicle theft. Anyway, he had this mugshot that came out and made all the social media. It was out there. It was around March of last year. His name is Jeremy Meeks, and I have an update for you. That's right. He's got a modeling gig. And apparently he's rolling in the dough. On his Instagram account, he's posted pictures up over the holidays of him and his family. He's got some cute kids, really just cute little family. I think two or three kids here in the picture I can see. And they're standing in front of this house, and I'm looking at the beautiful. He's in front of this great house. Is it just me? Am I being cynical when I'm thinking, he's got this Maserati in the picture. I'm like, is it hot? Just kidding. But ladies, this guy, I've been told by people who are in the know, this guy's good looking and he's doing well. And that's great. Let's celebrate that we're done with the holidays, but in this new year, new year's new beginnings. And this guy is killing it. Just hopefully not literally. All right. Back after this, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Liberals truly believe that there is this attainable goal of non-opinion journalism, which I've got to tell you, that's about as stupid as somebody thinking you can have a perfect communist society.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
And we are back. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And first show of the year. And I love it. I'm glad. I'm really looking forward to this year. I think there's going to be a lot of fun stuff going on. And by the way, I think, everybody's saying, look, you had the campaign to cover, and that was so interesting. I mean, what are you going to talk about now? And it's already obvious that, well, for example, there's no shortage of things to go over or to address, but the campaign is continuing. This is something that people don't realize, and it's the subtlety of what Obama and the Democrats are doing when it comes to delegitimizing Trump with all this nonsense of poking holes into the election. So one thing that's, obviously you've got the issue. First, they were talking about the popular vote. And the popular vote, really, the fact that Hillary won, I mean, it's a participation trophy. That's all she gets. I mean, she got it, but it's not what counts. And people who know sports throw out all the sports metaphors of, you can win so many games, but, it doesn't get you to the, doesn't get you to the bowl or whatever it is. But the hacking, the explanations, the almost this complete preoccupation with trying to come up with an explanation for Hillary's stunning loss, at least in their minds, it's one part, like I always say, it's one part just in an inability to cope with the realities of what happened. But it's not just denial. I really think it's the strategic effort to continue running a campaign against Trump. And it matters because it won't matter. It won't matter because while the Democrats are still trying to delegitimize Trump, what is he doing in the meantime? He's acting presidential. He's taking care of stuff. By my count, at least I add all this up, he seems to have about 80,000 jobs so far under his belt that he's either brought back or saved in America. And those are the things that matter to voters. So in 4 years, nobody's going to give a rat's rear end about, hacking and Russia and all these nonsense things that Obama and the Democrats are trying to put out there. They're going to ask themselves a simple question. Am I better off today than I was 4 years ago? And so it comes back to the age-old adage the famous words of Bill Clinton in the debates. Bill Clinton, when he ran against George H.W. Bush, what did he say? It's the economy, stupid. And with that line, Clinton, for those of you old enough to remember this, Clinton turned the race. I mean, he was dogged by all sorts of scandal, all sorts of issues. By the way, if that sounds familiar, it is. Right? Same with Trump. But returning it to the economy and making it about the economy and then making the economy his focus even before he's become president and sworn in. And what are you hearing? Oh, this beats all the precedent. You can't. There's only one president at one time. You stay out of the way. Let Obama do his thing. Alternating with, well, he's not legit. I mean, if it weren't for the Russians meddled, the Russians picked President Trump. All the while, what do we got? We got John Podesta, moron extraordinaire, the chairman of Hillary Clinton's election, her campaign. And what happens? He falls victim to a stupid garden variety phishing scheme. And they have to make it sound big because nobody wants to own this catastrophic failure that was A, the Obama presidency, and B, Hillary Clinton's joke of a campaign. Folks, it was a joke. And you and I know it. We know it because we watched that nightmare unfold, and we're sitting there in the corner going, oh my gosh, I just hope. Oh, please, dear God, don't let them win in spite of all their shortcomings. And then it didn't happen. Thank goodness. But what you have on the left right now, and it's throughout the media, all these stories, everything is, there's a tint on it. They're looking at it through their glasses, which they are still seeing red over the fact that they lost. And so just be wary. You know, when you're talking to people, you're going to be arguing with people. I think you've got to understand that there are people alive today that remember Hitler. They lived in Nazi Germany. They lived in Nazi-controlled Europe. There are people that know what Hitler really was. And the left is doing itself no favors by falsely creating this claim that Trump is is Hitler, even Hitler-like. It's absurd. And like many wise people have said, you know, you can overuse a criticism. You can overuse it. And then when a real Hitler comes, you've cried wolf one too many times. All right, we're going to be off. We're going to, speaking of crying wolf, John Wolf is up next with the news. And we are going to be back here in Studio Live Wednesday night. So tune into us Wednesday night, please. 7 p.m., back at it, dispelling one liberal myth after another. So happy. I'm looking forward to this year. I really am. 2017. Let's make it a good one. Back on Wednesday. Talk to you soon. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.